And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock on this, according to the weather guy, the last cold day of the year.
Is
what he said.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know if I believe them. They're only right 30% of the time. They get to keep their jobs, though. I'll be out there spreading fertilizer this afternoon. That's what I got to do. But hopefully you've got something else to do besides that, and you want to talk about computers and technology, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock to help you out. And congratulations to the UConn Huskies. Jordan's Furniture is probably shaking in their boots.
Oh, yeah. They may have a problem.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. congratulations and looking forward to that. It was awful rooting for Duke to beat St. John's. That was just gross.
Yeah, but you know.
Visions of Leitner in my head.
Yeah, I mean, I still hate Christian Leitner.
Yeah, that guy. So easy to just hate that guy. But it's good news all around there. But we're going to be here. Also, coming up at 10 o'clock, we're lucky enough to have Tatiana Jordan from Bark.us. She wants to talk about the ruling there where they found Meta and Google liable in harming the children.
Yes.
And so we'll talk to her about what her feelings are on that. Of course, you know, I agree. I don't have to tell, you know, it's not a surprise there. Yes, having kids on social media is obviously not a healthy thing.
Yeah,
again, just absolutely. Like sucking smoke into your lungs shouldn't have been a real hard thing to figure out that it's probably not the best idea. I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist or doctor or even or whatever. I mean, duh comes to mind. But of course, now this ruling is going to be obviously a boon. If you're a trial lawyer, you are just chomping at the bit for this one. Going after Mark is fine by me.
The commercials have already been airing.
Oh my, are they really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. Again, I'm not a very litigious person at all. But in this case, you go get them, trial lawyers. Have fun at it. Enjoy, especially that guy. But moving on, we've got news you can use, we hope. This is interesting. So we talk a little bit about electricity here on Computer Talk with Tab. Why? Because it's the base component of a technology.
Right.
Without power and electricity.
There is no computer.
You can't run on candle power, hamster power, nothing.
Yeah,
it's got to be electricity. So it's a base component to technology. Well, this story here, senators want data centers to come clean on power consumption is the headline from our favorite tech blog out there, The Register. Couple of U.S. senators are getting together. These two probably don't go to much dances together, but it's Elizabeth Warren and Josh Hawley want to make sure that the pledges of big tech and data centers to say that they're not going to impact our electric bills with their data centers have some sort of real weight behind them. Now, clearly, these guys still don't understand how electricity works because of just looking at what we're paying here in Connecticut. Legislators tend to not get it. If they did, we wouldn't be paying what we're paying for electricity. We would by now in the year 2026 understand how affordable and plentiful energy should be and cheap, but not here. Only because of these crazy credits that go back and forth. That's a whole Bitcoin of energy, by the way. And we'll be talking about that, too. But the case here is Senators Warren and Hawley want to get together and put some sort of law together, which I'm sure will screw us majorly as far as ratepayers. But the idea here is that these data centers should be paying their own way for their power, right?
Right.
They pledge to do that. They pledge to not impact us. And I contend if we do this right, we can have big tech actually lower our electric costs.
Right. If they divert that cost load and get it out of our payment realm, if you will, then that can actually save us all money.
And they're not. So just so you know, guys, these data centers require a lot of energy, right? So you're not going to get it with wind and solar. I'm sorry, you're not going to stick a bunch of windmills on top of a data center and hope it runs.
Well, you can, but then you have to have battery complexes, and battery complexes are environmental nightmares. Number one,
right?
Number two, they're a fire hazard.
Well, and the wind doesn't blow all day long, and neither does the sunshine.
Well, that's why you have the batteries to hold it, but then you have the problem of the battery.
Well, there's one other major issue that we've been learning with energy is that it runs at 60 hertz.
Yes.
And you need that heartbeat to run. And right. And the clean energy of batteries and solar does not produce that heartbeat.
No, it's all direct current. And Peter Kelly Detweiler was talking about that the last time he was on the air.
And Spain and Portugal found that out when their whole grid went down and brought those countries down because of that type of scenario. So these data centers are going to plug in natural gas, and they're going to plug in nuclear. They're going to plug in nuclear. And so you're going to be dealing with a lot of power coming from traditional sources, which is fine by me. It's the lowest cost energy. And if that occurs, I contend we're going to do very well as ratepayers as long as these senators who, I don't know you, Dennis. You know the saying, right? Those that can do and those that can't are in politics.
I don't know what kind of legislation is going to come out of this.
Yeah.
About the only thing that I can think of that is a good thing at all is just the fact that they're talking about it.
Sure.
I mean, it's good for them to, you know, make a point that this is an issue because a lot of us are not thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but sadly, these are trillion-dollar businesses that are going to be lobbying these people to say, come on, go look over here. Because
right.
again,
you're going to have two senators that are pointing out the problem and 98 that are going to make it go away.
But it's the year 2026. And again, back to the original comments about what Tatiana Jordan's going to talk about. They're just finding out now that having a 12-year-old on social media is probably harmful.
Oh.
Still, these senators have been in business the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
they have.
Right? Yeah. Come on. So I really don't hold a lot of hope for these folks to do anything of any value.
No.
But let's just hope the industry is actually responsible.
Well, along those lines, I have a story about Meta announcing that they're going to create power plants in Louisiana are going to power their big data center that they're building there.
Right.
Now, the whole problem here is, you know, they're making a show of announcing this, but will they ever get these built?
Well, that's all their issue too. Yeah, Louisiana probably.
And on top of that, even if they do get built, who's going to pay for them? Is Meta going to end up getting a public subsidy maybe out of the state of Louisiana?
They better not. See, we shouldn't be subsidizing
or out of any
this.
Of the parishes down there.
Right.
Because they want the business. I'm seeing that starting to happen. It's almost like a sports stadium.
Yeah. Well, that's I hope that's not the case. But
that's
the biggest losers ever.
You've got to have government jurisdictions that are looking to get these data centers.
Yeah.
And they're not looking at the costs.
Right.
They're not looking at the impact. They're just thinking, jobs. I can tell my voters that I went and got jobs.
Yeah.
Well, right. You and I know it doesn't take a whole lot of IT guys to run a data center.
No. I mean, to build it is great for the construction industry, but it's
right.
take but six,
that's,
six
that's,
guys to run it.
That's a short lifespan of a job.
Right. Now, what kind of power are they going to use down there?
Natural gas.
Yes,
natural and
gas.
They've got to have the pipelines to get it there.
Well, they must already have it, right? In order to site it, they must already have it.
What?
They don't have it?
I don't know. The story that I've got doesn't really mention that
too much.
I would think they do.
You're
I would hope that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another worry. Maybe they don't, and they've got...
Well, that'll be great
for infrastructure. Maybe that'll be the back door that they have to get out of it. Maybe they can say, yeah, I know we promised to build these, but then we couldn't get all the natural gas we needed, so we can't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that'll be the case. Well, that'll be what the politicians do, actually, is to stop the pipelines, which would bring the power to these data centers, which would hopefully lower your electric costs as long as you've got Zuckerberg creating the power. Now, again, Zuckerberg creating the power is responsible. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But it is definitely hopeful that that's what's going to happen. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Like I said, Tatiana Jordan from Bark US will be talking about the Meta Google case and what has happened. They have found social media for children is unsafe or not very healthy. And now you get the trial lawyers who are going to make a mint on this, which go after them. Fine by me. Especially for your letting your little kids on there that you can't even confirm their age as far as accessing it. You need to at least have age verification on your sites to know. If you know what TV show I'm watching, You know if the kid's 12. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right. We are back, and we're here to help you guys out until 11 o'clock this morning. And then, of course, Morgan will be in. He'll have a spotlight on something.
Yeah.
So stick around for that as well. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go ahead and go to Joe in New Haven. He's got an update for us. Is it a complaint?
Oh. Well, I think he fixed it.
He? Who's he? Us?
I told you about the bit blocker last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he says he's gonna you can't fix it. He's got to put a hard drive in it.
You can't. We said you can't hack it. If it's BitLockered and you don't have the passphrase, you can't get around it without wiping and reloading it.
He got around it somehow.
No, he didn't. He had to wipe and reload the thing because there's no way to get around it.
But I saved my data.
There's no way to hack it that we've ever heard of. If it's a BitLock encrypted, there's no way to get around it without the passkey.
I had my files.
Yeah.
Files in there the whole bit.
Most likely those weren't in part of the BitLocker. It might have been on another part of the drive that wasn't encrypted.
Could have been. Not all. When you BitLocker a drive, you can BitLocker just one partition on it and not the entire drive.
Mm-hmm.
But a drive is hardware, right?
A drive is hardware, yeah.
Yeah, well, he didn't charge me for hardware.
That's fine. He must have looked at the drive and found, yes, there was encrypted areas, but he must have found other areas that were not encrypted. There's no way to get around encryption this guy does not have some sort of quantum computer that's going to go ahead and hack the algorithm of BitLocker to get access to an encrypted drive for just a guy in New Haven. No matter how lovely you are, Joe, there is no technology out there.
It's working now.
Anything
I can do in the future to avoid this whole aggravation that I have?
Yeah, you can collect your BitLocker key.
When you encrypt your drive.
After you've encrypted your drive and you're still in it,
right,
and you're working in it, and it's up and running, and it's fine, and it's decrypted while you're working it, then you go into the BitLocker controls and control panel,
right,
and you can get your BitLocker key.
Right.
And we can post a link for that. We posted one last week, but we can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's interesting about it, because he came over, matter of fact, that Saturday, I asked him about the BitLocker, and he went in, and he says, I don't know. He says something to the effect, this version doesn't have it.
Oh.
And you don't have to worry about it. I guess I don't have to worry about it.
So you weren't even encrypted, Joe. That makes it a whole big difference.
Well, okay.
So you called and said you had it in BitLocker encrypted drive, and if the operating system version you have doesn't have that, I mean, what version of what operating system do you have, Joe?
Windows 11.
That it does have BitLocker. So.
Well, Windows 11 Pro does.
Good point. I'm only working in Pro.
Windows 11 Home doesn't.
So you were not even encrypted, Joe.
But why did it say BitLocker? It says they wanted my recovery key and all that stuff.
Well, because so maybe that was more of some sort of fish of some kind. I don't know. Dennis is looking here, but
yeah. Let me find out a little bit here, real quick.
I'm guessing you were never encrypted because there's no way to break the encryption that we're aware of.
I don't know, because I got so far with one person,
yeah,
and then they wanted me to put in the, what's that little key called?
Right, the decryption key.
No, the flash key.
The flash key.
That key, I want to buy one.
Like a Yubico key? Like a Yubico key?
USB code, right?
Okay.
And I bought that, and if that person tried to fix it, he got the whole thing mixed up. They wanted my old one. I bought a new one. I don't know, whatever. And so I think it kept on saying it, BitLocker.
Yeah, yeah.
That screen came on and everything.
Dennis is looking here. He's got some thoughts.
Okay, I'm looking here.
Yeah.
There is something in Windows 11 Home called device encryption.
Mm-hmm.
It is a kind of a lightweight
encryption
version of BitLocker.
Yeah.
But it only applies to part of the drive.
There we go.
So that's probably what is in play here.
Right.
And it sounds as if the data that the guy recovered was just not part of this device encryption scheme.
Right.
We can post a link to an article about that from Microsoft.
Yeah, because if this guy could beat encryption, he would be working for the NSA.
I was going to say the dude should be a billionaire now
because
he knows something that the rest of the universe doesn't.
Right.
Okay, in the future, because I asked that. He came over, I says, well, let's get the BitLocker key. And he went in and he says, well, it doesn't have it.
Right.
So anything I can do, it just happens. Anything in the future to avoid this?
Well, if you're going to encrypt something, make sure you write down the key. I don't know what occurred here, why you would not know that you encrypted something. You typically have to take action to do it. And so
all I know is I fell asleep on a couch, maybe I hit some keys when I was sleeping. That's all I know. I'm not super tech. I use it for basic things.
Yeah, yeah. You should have told us that in your first call. I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up and my computer says it was encrypted.
I thought maybe I hit some keys that I didn't know about.
No.
It's so easy to fix and everything.
No, it takes a little bit of effort to encrypt your machine, unless you're one of those sleep instead of sleepwalking, you sleep program, but
maybe that was it. I don't know. it was an experience. You don't know. I mean, I call one place. I'm supposed to fix it. I was in the library.
Yeah.
He dials in. I went through the whole thing with him because they want the USB port.
Right.
You go out and buy one. I buy one. I come back. I call other places. I get someone else. No, they mean the old key. I told you about the guy that supposedly works for the FBI and does cybersecurity.
Right.
He said, I could do it, but I can't do it because I'll be unethical. And
he can't do it either. The FBI only has keys if they're existing for encryption that exists. If the FBI has backdoor keys to BitLocker, Microsoft would have a huge problem.
They would.
They couldn't say they have anything that's secure. The FBI is doing anything wrong.
The only thing they just can't have access.
The only thing
that I can even guess at is that there might be some kind of an exploit within the BitLocker code that they could then use to decrypt.
Yeah, but an FBI.
But that would have to be. That would have to. That's the kind of thing that nation states can do. This is not what some just guy off the street is going to be able to pull off.
Right, and even for him to say that. It doesn't even sound very FBI-ish of him.
This is someone else. That was the second person.
Third
person I tried.
Yeah.
And he tried other things. And he says, I can't do it. I don't have the software.
There is definitely and there's no key combination where you would have slept by an inadvertently hit a Windows key that then went to encrypt it.
No.
So, Joe, I'm glad it worked out for you. I don't think the area was ever encrypted.
I'm really happy. Yeah.
And all I can tell you is you have to take action to encrypt your system on purpose. So if you don't do that, you're good.
Okay.
All right. But thank you for the update. It was great to hear.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
You got it, sir. Yep. Bye-bye. All right. So there's encryption for you. If it's not encrypted, you're good. feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Now, we would recommend, too, that you do encrypt data. Especially if you have any kind of data that should be encrypted, like HIPAA data, CUI data,
yes,
PCI data, those things should be encrypted.
Well, and that's why businesses get Windows 11 Pro that has full BitLocker.
Exactly. We'll be right back. All right. We are back here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. How's that Bitcoin treating you? Just as I read a story about some Wall Street expert or somebody on Wall Street says Bitcoin has bottomed and it was set 70, and Bitcoin says hold my beer, now it's 66. It's literally a casino. I mean, there's no value. It's backed by nothing. Yes, I know you say the same thing about American dollar. At least it's backed by us, the ding-a-lings that are going to allow a $32 trillion debt. Yes, I understand how dumb we are backing that piece of paper, but Bitcoin is like exponentially dumber. I read another thing about an expert talking about staying away from all other cryptocurrencies because unless you're on the inside, you're going to get burned, except for Bitcoin. So I don't know. I'm just watching it continue to drop and just saying, I don't know. Keep putting your hard-earned money in there, but somebody's taking it out and buying a Maserati with it.
Yeah.
They're not using Bitcoin to buy it either.
No.
They're using
cash. Legal tender.
Yeah. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. Real quick, I know, Dennis, you wanted to bring up a router ban before we get to these calls.
Yeah. Big news this week was the FCC issued a ban on foreign-made routers.
Yeah.
Now, the problem here is that routers are all made in other countries. everyone,
yeah,
except
we don't make a router.
For some, some of the Starlink routers are made in Texas.
Oh, okay. Elon's
but
company.
If you are not a Starlink customer, you cannot buy a U.S.-made router for your home.
Because they don't
you
exist.
You can't do it. Right. They aren't there. And contrary to a lot of fantasies by a lot of politicians, they are never going to be made here.
Maybe.
The fact that Starlink makes some of them here is, that's an anomaly. Mm. And I don't even think it's a serious business because it is just really expensive to make electronics in the United States. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper by orders of magnitude. Mm-hmm. To make them in other countries like Vietnam. The only thing that was surprising about this is that it wasn't a ban on just particular manufacturers' routers. It's just a universal foreign router ban.
Hmm.
And American companies can petition the FCC for some kind of a waiver for particular models.
Mm-hmm.
So companies like Netgear, which are based in the U.S. but make all their stuff abroad, are probably going to be doing that.
Yeah.
And companies like that have said, hey, this is great because we like this ban.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they do. Mm-hmm. They have an inside footing within the FCC to get the disclaimers that they're looking for.
Gotcha.
Other companies are not going to have that capability and they're going to lose out. Bottom line, if you've got a router in your home, it's fine. Don't need to get rid of it. If there's a router on a shelf in a store, that's fine. They don't need to get rid of it. Anything that's been brought into the United States before the ban is okay.
All right.
And will always be okay. That's it. It's just new imports after the ban was issued.
Interesting. So we're going to see issues with Cisco, Palo Alto.
We're going to see issues with the router market all over the place.
Mm.
Prices are going to go haywire, probably up. But I would imagine the pricing on some things is going to be just out of whack.
Yeah.
And the market is going to change.
Yeah.
How it's going to change, I can't really tell you.
Right. Well, Elon's
just gonna change.
Company in Texas might be building some sonic walls. Who knows?
I kind of doubt that.
All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Peter in Hamden next. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, I have it's somewhat new. I got it about 6 months ago, an HP laptop. And every so often I get this little pop-up, and it's about turning on Windows Backup. And it says automatically save your desktop documents and pictures to OneDrive. And it just asked me if I want to get started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done it yet. I'm assuming that is a safe thing to do that's built into this laptop. And if so, if I do it, I mean, what does it do for me and what does it not do for me? And I'm assuming it's not like a total backup. Is it just like a little piece of a backup or, you know, because I have some data on here. I do want to make sure I protect.
Right.
I'm just not sure what that does and what that doesn't do. And then if it doesn't do like the full-blown kind of backup that you guys are always talking about, what is the best way to accomplish that?
All right. That's a lot there, bud. That's a good question, though.
Time.
Yeah, we got time. We got time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good question. So Microsoft is desperate for your data. They're not interested in protecting the data, but they do want to make sure you are connected to their cloud. And so what they're doing here is trying to tell you, and it's a nice thing, right? Your machine isn't backed up, but they could have told you this for the past 25 years, right? Wouldn't it be nice to say, hey, your computer's not backed up. Why don't you go buy a backup software and back it up? No, they never did that. But now that they've got a place to stick your data and they're desperate for you to do it, they want to tell you that you can put it on the OneDrive. And then, of course, you'll start using OneDrive and you'll be connected to the cloud. There's some great conveniences of OneDrive in the cloud. Not a bad thing. But it's not really a backup. It's a synchronization of your data to the cloud. It's not considered a backup per se.
Also, what it's backing up is your desktop and documents and pictures folders only. Those three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are
your
the
data.
Ones that it does. But if you've got data in your music folder,
it wouldn't
not going to be set. Not going to be
unless you
configure
it to do so.
Or if you can actually move the music folder in, or you can have it back that up too. And the problem that you're going to have too is that as you're creating documents and then deleting them, well, that's exactly what's going to happen to them in OneDrive. So
if synchronize.
If you want to go back to a file that you had a week ago, and you think, oh, yeah, I have a backup on OneDrive, I'm going to go look there. Well, it ain't going to be there because you deleted it a week ago. So it's a sync. It is not a true backup.
And just so you know, we actually have to protect our clients' data in Microsoft 365 and OneDrive with a backup.
Right.
So we back up their cloud data in Microsoft because Microsoft does not say they care about your data. They don't care about your data. They simply make the service available. You have to make sure you back up your data. So we have to actually back up our clients' data to a different cloud, a whole different data center, because if they do exactly as Dennis just described, they need a way to get back at that old file because it's not a backup. It's a sync. But they really do want to get you to utilize their cloud, and this is how they're couching it. And they shouldn't be calling it a backup. They should be calling it a sync, a synchronization.
Good. All right, well, that's very helpful then. So it sounds like it's truly not really it's not overly worth it.
Right.
And it's really not what I'm trying to accomplish with this either. So do you have time to sort of walk me through how or give some general direction how to do a real backup on this?
Yeah. I would tell you to consider Acronis. That's what I'm using now. We used to recommend other technologies, but we won't even go there. Consider Acronis as an image-based backup. The beauty of an image-based backup is it's a whole system. You can restore your computer as it looked as of the last backup, and you can configure your backup to happen as often as you wish. We would recommend a target. You could use a NAS on your network. You could use external drives that you swap to create these backups. NASs are a nice, easy way to do it. Again, there's risks involved in that as well because NASs themselves have all sorts of compromises that we've talked about. But that's what I would tell you to consider. Pick up a NAS, network-attached storage, attach it to your network, i.e. not to your computer, but it's on your network, and then configure Acronis to do an entire image of your computer, maybe every day, every night, once a week, whatever you want to do. And that way it's automatically happening and you'll be able to restore your system, the entire system, as it looked as of the last backup. The key is to make sure you understand how to do a restore, because doing a backup is just half the battle. Being able to restore it is where you get the gold medal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, you do the first half and don't do the second half, it's not going to get you very far. So.
If you don't know how to, the key is to make sure you understand how to restore.
What you have to do is go through the exercise of restoring a file from a backup after you've created one, just so that you know how to do it. And that's all. It's pretty simple. We even have clients that have regular testing where we take whatever backup they've got.
Right.
We put a
whole server in
place. We put a whole temporary server in. We restore the server as it was in the backup on whatever date we happen to pick to restore it. But we go through the total exercise of restoring the server and firing it up and making sure that it runs.
Right.
Because you don't want to be in a position where you need that backup and there's something wrong with it.
Right.
So
the other issue with backups in that instance, so we do those tests, right? So it worked that time. That doesn't mean it will work when you actually need it. You hope it will. And we've shown that it can work. It's just the funny issue with Murphy is that there's lots involved in these things to make sure. But it does work in general. But it's one of those things. Just because it happened to work yesterday doesn't mean it'll work tomorrow.
Okay. Because I know when we bought these, I have a, through my former employer, some of the guys in the IT world there I knew quite well.
Yeah.
Very smart guys. And, he came out to the house and helped us set it up. And when he sort of does these things for us, he always takes a backup of our old system at the moment. So he's got basically everything from 6 months ago. But that doesn't help me for things that we've done in the meantime. So
I was
just looking for a way to actually be a little more comfortable with that stuff. I think some of the things you guys were just talking about are probably a little bit over my expertise. So maybe what I might think of doing is, hooking up with my IT friend again.
Oh, Peter, don't sell yourself short. You can do this. It's not that we're any smarter than you. I mean, I barely learned how to change my lawnmower's oil only recently.
What worries me about this stuff is it's just, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but when something goes wrong with your computer,
yeah.
It's not like if something goes wrong with your car and you can actually open up the hood, and if you know some things about mechanics and things, you can work on it.
Mm.
If some crazy things comes up on this screen, I have no idea how to fix it and idea what it's telling me. That's usually the difference with this stuff. You know, if my sink is leaking, I can get under there and I can fix it.
Right.
But if the computer starts doing something, I just don't have the expertise with it.
Fair enough.
So I'm just really nervous about things are just going to, you know, disappear. So
now,
maybe my goal would be maybe he could walk it through me the first time and then I could take it from there. But that's what I wanted to know. It's just so that Windows backup thing is really not.
It's not a backup. It's
a
sink.
In trouble. It's not going to get me what I want.
Right.
And to get what I want, I probably have to just put a little more time and study into it. You guys don't have anything like, I know you post links to this and links to that. Is there anything that you have on your, you know, where you post this stuff that would sort of explain that a little bit or something to walk somebody through it, or is it too complicated?
It's not complicated. So the YouTubes that are out there, if we told you about Acronis, right? I bet you we could post a link.
Can you tell me,
Acronis. A-C-R-O-N-I-S.
A-C-R-O-N-I-S. Okay, very good. Yeah, all right. All right, so maybe I can look on YouTube and see what the...
We'll put a link for you. We will find an Acronis installation training for you. Not that we get anything for it, but we'll put it out there. But that's what YouTube is actually for.
You'll get my gratitude for it.
Our pleasure. We're happy to do it. All right, Peter.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
You got it, sir. All right. Peter's going to try to back up his computer. We're going to step out for a break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're back. We're here till 11 o'clock, and let's get right to your calls. Steve in Southington wants to chime in. What's happening, Steve?
Hi. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
When I last left off with you, I was talking about saving things and, you know, how uncomfortable it could be when you're writing things.
Uncomfortable as far as where you put it, where you're saving your data?
Yeah.
Whatever
it is that you're writing. Like for me, I was writing, you know, screenplays. And
right.
Movie scripts and stuff.
Yeah.
And right after I got off the phone, I'm like, you know what? You're not going to worry about this. This is the least of the things that you're going to worry about.
Me or you?
For me.
Ah.
I must... Since the 80s, when somebody saw me first writing something, and they're like, you know, you have to save that. And I'm like, save? I was just like the guy in The Water Boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, save? Save. And like, yeah, you have to save that. And I had no clue what that meant and what was going to happen or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, okay. And blindly, I did it and did it and did it. I swear, it's like, you see the amount of tweets that the president does, and they're like the Empire State every day. And so, like, I was at that point for about, you know, since the 80s all the way until now, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I saved all this time.
Yeah, you saved your data.
For me, nothing happened, and I'm like, wow, nothing happened.
Well, I buy life insurance with that same exact hope.
Wait, I'm not sure how to respond to that.
I don't want anything to happen. I buy life insurance every all the time. I have it in place, but I hope I don't have to use it. You save your data, and you hope you don't have to go back to find the copy that you saved because you haven't lost it.
Yeah.
But life insurance works the same way. They're betting you're not going to die. I'm betting I am going to die, but I'm hoping I'm not. So, and the same thing with saving your data.
I don't have life insurance yet.
What? Do you have anybody that you care about that's in your family?
I know I should. I don't have a family yet.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll do.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't need to have life insurance for yourself. You're good.
Yeah. But still, the amount of times that I hit that save button, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. A lot of stuff could have happened. And yet nothing happened, and I'm like, you know what, just forget it.
Right.
I was telling you, I'm like, yeah, I'll go back to the typewriter. And I'm like, no, just keep, I'm a word processor,
all
I
right.
guess.
You keep doing what you're
and
doing.
What you have to do. Yeah, and it's fun. But I wanted to also ask you about the AI thing.
Hmm.
Did you see in the news over the week how the president wants his rules over the state's rules?
Hmm. Well, there should be some sort of federal rule over. Say they, that's how the government mandates with drugs,
like,
too.
Is there one AI? Is this, how's this going to play out?
There's lots of AI.
There's tons of it.
Yeah. And some of it's really not AI. And actually, AI.
What happens?
Well, lots of things are happening, but we'll have to see how it goes. The lawmakers are going to be way behind any kind of laws.
So
they still haven't figured out social media.
Still.
Yeah. They haven't figured out social media. All you need to know is. They haven't figured out social media.
That whole thing with the meta thing. I agree. I agree with how it went.
Yeah, me too.
And
we'll
I know you guys don't want to be political.
Hey, it is what it is. But are you going to continue to save the way you have and set caution to the wind is what you're saying, Steve, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like Guillermo.
All right, man. Well, thank you for checking in. We appreciate it. All right, that's Stephen Southington talking about saving. He's not going to go in and do anything different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right, in other news, this is something I brought up on the Tuesday program. And it is something that I brought up to Dennis here off air. So there's basically a Strava tool. It's a program that lets you track your running. It turns out Brian uses it. I didn't even know. But it turns out that there's still military folks who are using it while they're deployed, showing their actual location. In this case, it was a sailor on the French aircraft carrier, the Charles de Gaulle. And basically his Strava app was publishing his location.
Oh, no.
Now, why this is so frustrating for guys like me and my clients, the companies in Connecticut that manufacture Department of Defense products, whether they be missiles or airplanes or jet engines or howitzer parts or whatever it might be, spend gobs and gobs and gobs of money to actually keep that information secure.
Right.
Then you have military folks who are actually riding on those weapons, literally on the weapon, and you're saying, hey, I'm over here, shoot me now. You really can't make it up. And this is not an old problem. Dennis, even now, we're talking about off air. We had these stories 10 years ago.
I've heard of it at least twice in the past that I can think of. They were all fitness apps of some kind.
Right.
That military people were using, and it was leaking where they were.
Literally, you could see the outline of the base in Afghanistan as they were running around the outside of the, on the outline of the base. Here is my base. Here's where we are. So if you're asking manufacturers in Connecticut to go jump through massive hoops to paint the torpedo in a specific way so that the Chinese don't know what kind of paint we use, can you at least have some sort of discipline to not have the technology on the weapon so that it shows where you are? We care about you. We don't want you to be blown out of the water, Charles de Gaulle. So we'll put I think we already have the link out here, but the other issue is the default setting on these apps, Dennis. They are defaulting to send your information out there.
To the cloud, right.
So again, if Warren and Josh Hawley there want to actually do something, they should say apps should...
They should be opt in rather than opt out.
Right. For any kind of privacy right. type of stuff. And that's not the case. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So stick around, guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're going to talk to Titiana Jordan of Bark.us. She has been working very hard in her career to protect children from online issues, as far as online, any kind of online adult material that shouldn't be available to kids. She's giving us ways to keep our kids safe, have the data filtered, have the actual device more protected. And now with the Google Meta ruling, I'm sure she's happy, as well as the trial lawyers, who I didn't even realize are already advertising on this station about how you can go ahead and sue Zuckerberg. So we'll talk to her as well. And then, of course, real quick thing I want to let you guys know, Southington Symphonic Band, we have our concert Monday night, Southington High School, 7 o'clock.
Monday.
Come on out and check out our program. It's free. And we've got some amazing corporate sponsors that help us make it free. Because that music's expensive, Dennis.
Yeah.
It is.
Of course it is.
And but we're happy to put it on, and we're glad that we can. And you guys showing up really make it the reason we do it. You know, we want you guys to hear what we've got together. So that's on Monday night. And then, of course, Plainville Symphonic Band Wind Ensemble has got a concert in their Plainville High School at 2 o'clock. So you can just get nothing but community band music this weekend, should you choose. So, Steve, hang on, Waterbury. We'll be right back.